This is Sky Blues Extra.
Well, hello, everybody. It's been a while, but we're back. Welcome along to this edition of the Sky Blues Extra podcast with myself, a bunged up Dean Atkinson, and with my good friend, David Moore. David, great to be with you this afternoon. How are things?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Dean. It has been a long, long time, hasn't it?
But 28 days since the Sky Blues faced QPR to face Reading, yeah.
28 days. It feels that as well, if I'm honest. I think, you know, it was quite nice watching World Cup football coming, well, not coming home, because most of the time you're working from home, but...
who is coming home? It ain't football.
Shame. I thought that, you know, England had looked good. I know there's some ridiculous rogue stats going around the fact that we've never played anyone decent in quarterfinals of what we've got through or something. But, you know, that's the hand you're dealt.
You've got in front of you, right? You can't
choose
your opponents, and you would never choose to play the best opponents even if you could. So I don't get that one, if I'm honest.
No, but I'm one very glad for domestic football. You know, you'll probably be hearing, if you could, the boos, but I'm very much sort of club over country, to be honest.
100%. But I mean, 17 days of pure footballing bliss with four games a day, absolutely no work done during that period of time. that was probably the best part of it. And seeing some teams that you'd never choose to watch Saudi Arabia, would you?
Yeah, it was good. You know, it was good, decent football. And, you know, free to air, I guess, is the most important thing, because so many games that you want to watch these days are on Amazon Prime or Roku or some obscure PPV.
Roku. My Roku. Very rogue.
But you know what I mean? They're just on so many channels nowadays that you have to have like four subscriptions to watch some of the games, like the Champions League. So it was nice that you could just come in and guarantee that there'd be some free to air. All right, you had to suffer people like Martin Keown for like, you know, 90 minutes at a time. But, you know.
Sam Matterface.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I mean, how Clive Tyldesley is not the lead comms on ITV, that is just a travesty. Unbelievable. I'll tell you what, it was also a travesty. The officiating, you know, those quarterfinals were shocking. Absolutely shocking. I mean, it wouldn't look out of place at championship level, if I'm honest. It made Keith Stroud look competent, didn't it?
I was going to say, well, we've become accustomed to that sort of officiating, haven't we? So when everyone else was rolling their eyes and, you know, screaming at the TV, we were just like, just another day at the office for us.
Another season down with us, lads. Come on. We'll show you what it's really like down here. It's absolutely awful. But we digress.
This is a Coventry City podcast,
And, you know, like all Coventry City podcasts, or every episode of this Coventry City podcast, it's not just the football we talk about. There's obviously lots of off-field antics, shall we say, that's happened. We'll talk about those later in the podcast. But first of all, we'll talk about Reading. Obviously, the first game back in action after that 28-day break at the Select Car Leasing Stadium. It felt, Dave, it wasn't a bad performance, but a bad result.
Yeah, absolutely. Just so frustrating to go away from what is it? The
Select Car Leasing Stadium.
Yeah,
it just felt for old school football fans.
Yeah, Majeski. It just felt proper desperate to be leaving there with nothing. We were literally in control of the majority of the game. We had the lion's share of possession. We carved out all of the most, you know, decent chances. I thought for a home team, they're one of the worst home teams seen this season. And that automatically just makes me sound like sour grapes. But they were literally, the amount of times they put it out of play, lumped it. I think Carroll makes them look even more average because they a lot of teams with Carroll in, we saw it with West Brom last season, they revert to type and go, right, ping it to Carroll.
Or into a channel and try and get a cross into him.
Yeah, and he's not very good, is he? He's just not
what you're looking for.
He's just not what he was once was in a Liverpool shirt, you know?
Yeah.
Same ponytail, but just not not got the sort of speed and fitness to get into the positions that he used to.
It's funny you say that because, I mean, we all look back at Twitter after games and most Reading fans were saying like, oh, if only we could play like Coventry, or I long for the day we play like Coventry. I would turn in a result like today to play like Coventry. We hear this all the time. Imagine turning up to that stadium each week with the worst atmosphere I've ever heard at a football ground, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, it didn't help that it was about minus 20.
Yeah.
But imagine going to watch that every week.
I couldn't. I would rather be where we are playing the football that Mark Robins... I've said this so many times, you know. We play really nice football to watch. It's exciting. Don't get me wrong. You know, we conceded some goals. But we play some really nice football. But yeah, same. I was getting the bus back to the train station. Another, you know, reason that you really just don't want to visit the Magicians. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's no, you know, it's the worst. I thought the CBS is bad, right? But at least they got the train station that works like with one train an hour.
I went to the KFC on the business park just before the game, and I've never seen queues like it. Like, it was just like, just nothing round there is any good. It's just, you know.
So what you're saying is it's either the queues, they're either for the football ground or KFC. It's just the two things to do on a Saturday afternoon.
Or it takes years to get from the town centre to the ground.
Yeah.
We saw like 20, 30 people started coming up through the concourse at like 10 past three. And I was like, God, was the bus late? He goes, oh, no, we've been in traffic for like 45 minutes trying to get
there. Yeah, it's really bad. No, it is a really bad ground. The less said about it, the better, really.
You talk about sort of the game where we had ultimate control. Do you think the sort of the break that we've had is played into that? It sort of broke that momentum we had? It
didn't. I know. We kicked off, I know, going back to the bus, a guy I overheard a comment him saying that it looked like two teams in the first half that hadn't played in a long time.
Yeah, it didn't feel very natural, I thought.
I thought we'd look more up for it. Yeah, we definitely looked like we'd had a break in the sun compared to Reading that had spent time in Reading. We definitely looked like we had a bit of a spring in our step.
Hell of a lot of time in the queue for KFC. Especially Andy Carroll, carrying a little bit away.
Seriously, yeah. I thought we started pretty promising, but yeah, no, I think it was as much the cold. I know it sounds thing, but just it's, I don't even care. Like I've played in that weather and you're not up for it, really.
Nah, especially with balls getting smashed into your body.
Yeah.
It's just not nice. I know they get paid a lot of money for balls to be smashed into them, etc. But
they do.
It doesn't matter how much you're being paid. A ball coming at your face at 60 miles an hour when it's freezing cold hurts. It doesn't matter how much cash is in your bank account.
So I think it was just all a bit tentative, wasn't it? And
no killer instinct, I would say. Like, everything was good up to a point.
We didn't have a final ball, did we?
No. And it was just a lot of huff and not enough puff, really. And talking of one of those with maybe not enough puff, O'Hare got some criticism again for that lack of finishing ability. But to be fair to him, I thought he forced two really top quality saves from their goalkeeper.
Yeah, he did. I thought, to be fair, like his end product was better than usual. So you can say maybe some of the criticism's fair. And look, we've said so many times he does need to come in and start helping out with some goals. But then where does that put him as a player? And does he remain a Coventry City player if he starts banging in 15 a season or something like that from that sort of 10 role? I think he forced some good saves. I thought it was actually great to see him shooting because he doesn't really shoot ever. And it's nice to sort of see him having a go. And the more he does that, obviously, the more he's going to score. So
I think he was pretty hard on himself in the post-match interview. He was very short. Like, his answers were very short. You could tell he was probably annoyed with himself and annoyed with maybe the team's lack of finishing ability. But I think he was very hard on himself there, to be honest. I just thought, on another day, the keeper misses that first shot going into the bottom corner. He dives over it, or the ball bobbles over him. You know, it's just one of those. You know, getting efforts on target is a good step, really, in the right direction for him, who, like you say, doesn't tend to hit the target enough, really.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen this season, but that won't define either, really. That's one of those rogue games that really we should have got something from. We should definitely have got a point, if not all three. And just, it, I think it's one of them that would have to go down as a frustrating afternoon. I think that's, you know, I think that's, that came across in his interview for me, that they couldn't quite believe, really. Like, there was a few times he'd almost laughed, you know, as a sort of, you know, just couldn't quite believe that they didn't go in, or how many chances we had. And I think that comes from how bad Reading were. I thought they were really bad, to be honest.
It could have been a lot better at that. When we hit the post, obviously from the corner.
Yeah,
I think the game is different if that goal goes in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we would have then controlled it. I think that's the only problem is that we do have a lot of chances. We don't always finish them, and other teams, I think that's a mark of where we are. I'm not saying that we're not challenging for playoffs. Like, we've obviously put a tremendous run together before the international break, and it was incredible. But I think a Burnley, or I think, you know, maybe even a Sheffield United now that have turned the corner, go away and grind that result out, yeah, and they just make something happen.
Maybe we're lacking a bit of that sort of streetwiseness to get the job done.
Yeah, but also at the same time, it is the first game back after quite a while off.
Yeah.
And you know, perhaps if we'd have played the same caliber of team 3 weeks down the line, we would have battered them 3-0. Yeah. You know, it's one of them.
I think you just chalk it off as a one-off, crazy, weird, indifferent result that we shouldn't really look back on it with you know, any just as we look towards the sort of the end of the season. We're not going to look back at this and go, oh, you know, that's one. Okay, maybe we'll look back and go, that's one we should have won. But under the circumstances, it maybe isn't one.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I agree.
Maybe I'm not making sense. Maybe I'm so bunged up, full of cold and flu tablets, I'm not making any sense. But yeah, hopefully it does. Man of the match for you, for Reading?
For Reading? Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, for the Reading game.
Good, it has been a long time since we've done this, isn't it? Sheaf, I think. I thought Sheaf was really good. I thought he broke down play a lot. I thought he did a lot of dirty work. I think he was at the centre of a lot of things that was good. I think Hamer again played well. He just gives us something else, Hamer, doesn't he? Just sort of injects that pace. He was the only one that, for me at times, that looked like he was going to inject something that would just kickstart us and would
he
get us going.
A lot of space, didn't he? And sort of drove into those areas.
Yeah, and I found like maybe it was the cold, but it just didn't look like anyone wanted to run after him. Like, he was almost got a chance to just do what he wanted. And at times, that quick play, I think everyone else just wasn't quite on the ball. But I think Sheaf, for an all-round performance, was good. And I think a good shout for Ben Wilson. He made a really good save, didn't he? Before, you know, let's be honest, the goal that we conceded was bumbled in a little bit. It's one of them. But down our end, he made a really good save, which I thought, yeah, was good that he kept that out.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Now, this wouldn't be a Coventry City podcast if we didn't speak about the events off the pitch. It seems like a lot has happened, Dave, hasn't it, over the last 28 days. I've got down notes here of three areas we're going to sort of concentrate our thoughts and chat about. So we've got the stadium, obviously the merchandise issue, and obviously the alluding takeover that's overriding the club at the moment. Should we start with the stadium? Because that seems to be the big thing at the moment. Obviously now owned by Mike Ashley's Frasers Group, and we've been evicted, which is just an absolute batshit thing to even say. What's your thoughts on the situation?
I don't know, really.
We can all be down Memorial Park next Saturday.
I mean, we actually know that we're playing at the CBS on Saturday, officially, yeah. Because it was evicted with immediate effect.
We could play the youth game there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's mental. I think there's lots of people at fault. I could definitely see that there's some fault and blame on the owner's side of things. I don't know. Like,
is that in relation to obviously that agreement that has come out to say that?
Yeah, just maybe a bit of like, either, again, trying to sort of maneuver around what, you know, the car that's steaming in front of towards you, and just trying to maneuver around it rather than, you know, just
take
sort of
on.
Yeah, like exactly. So there could be a bit of that. You know, without the details, it's hard to say. But I think what I've got to say is the council are just an absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think anything has been made of that.
No, it hasn't.
And in all of this.
No, and ever since we left Highfield Road, we've had issues around that. Now, the issues around the council was because we couldn't knock down some, you know, gas canisters or whatever it was to start off with, to even build the place. Yeah. And then now, it just seems mad that...
Like they're holding a 25-year grudge for not knocking those down.
It's just quite incredible, really, that, yeah, okay, I get it, it's a business asset, and that someone's come in and purchased it and they're going to use it. But I don't understand how there's not just, I don't know, I just don't get how there's not some sort of rules around the fact that it is built as a bloody sports stadium for Coventry City Football Club. And that would be the one legal binding thing for anyone that club has to play in that ground. Like,
because
I don't
care.
It becomes
a white elephant otherwise, doesn't it? It's because it just doesn't get used for anything else. Because it's too cold for, you know, let's say 5 months a year to use it as a concert venue. So that's not going to get used from, say, November to April.
But even just the fact that when you think about, if you like teleport yourself back in time to when this new ground was getting built, and we had all the webcams live on the like when it was getting bulldozed and stuff.
Still waiting for the sliding pitch, if I'm honest.
But you know, you go back to that and you just think, how the hell have we got here? Like, how has that happened?
Yeah,
it's absolutely incredible, and you can probably hear it in my voice. It's laughable that. If you didn't laugh, you would cry, because it is just literally the most ridiculous of situations. And I just can't believe that the council haven't done something more to just secure the future of sport in that arena, whether that be Wasps or Coventry or whatever. But just, it seems like there had to be some sort of clause in that place to say,
this is used as Coventry City's football ground.
Exactly.
Regardless
and then,
of what deal is
exactly.
Proposed.
And then the deal after that becomes, you know, I don't know, a contract that needs to be thrashed out. Now, that's apparently what's happened. I don't think CC was ever going to sign the contract, were they? It doesn't matter what it was.
You're not going to... If I was in CC's hands here, I would not sign an agreement before the Frasers Group has officially got ownership of the...
Well, that's the other mad thing, isn't it? It's absolutely crazy.
Why would you do that?
So I buy a house off someone, and I ask the tenants of that house before I buy it to sign a new agreement. And the new agreement is that there's not going to be any fridge, freezer, appliances or anything like that, right? What are the tenants going to say to me?
Piss off. It's as simple as that, isn't it? Especially if you're going for CISU actually in play to buy the stadium. Not going to go, okay, we'll agree to pay X amount if Mike Ashley gets it, but also actually we're going to try and buy it ourselves.
And this now is obvious, it seems, why that happened, right? We now know why the £25 million bid was on the table, because this was it. It was basically, I think that's the only thing I would say, is that the outmaneuvering has been that this agreement has been put in place before they even all met in court for the administration. And they were hoping on the day that the judge was going to go around and just turn around and go,
you know what?
Happy days.
Thanks for that $1.2 million you put up front. That kept everyone's job for a little bit. But yeah, we need to take the highest bid. But that's what I said to you on that Twitter space we did when it was announced. The judge has got to play a part in getting the best for
but the best
all the,
I think it was the best deal, because I don't think the proof of funds were there, were
because
they
left it too late.
That's the other thing, but that's because they probably had to scrap around and find someone with 25 million, team.
Well, they got it. It's Dougie King.
Yeah.
But we still absolutely don't know anything about Mr. King at this point, which is something we'll talk about in the sort of the takeover section of the events off the pitch.
But it is mental, isn't it? We talked about, like, I don't think anyone at home is going to be enlightened by what we've just discussed, because it's just a bit of a rant around. But it is just really an incredible situation. I tried to explain it to someone at work, and in the end, no, I just said, let's go to lunch. Like,
I'll buy it. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Whatever you want, I'm buying. Yeah, it is mental. One thing I do want to say, though, is that obviously it's been alluded that the Frasers Group is going to give us the same deal until the end of the season. But then after that, the terms need to be renegotiated. Now, one of the things that's really pushed us on over the last 18 months is the terms of the deal that we got with Wasps, with ACL, that really helped solidify the income. Now, needless to say that these terms is probably going to make us worse off, if you're honest. Mike Ashley is a shrewd businessman. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
We can't take that away from him. He's going to put...
Are you saying Wasps didn't know what they're doing?
Yes, correct. That is exactly what I'm saying. Now, we've got a different situation. The kind of the shoes on the other foot, really, isn't it? Because we tried to starve ACL, Wasps of income. That happened.
Yeah.
Obviously, that played out into where we are now. But the shoe is now on the other foot with Mike Ashley.
Although, sadly and frustratingly, they had the last laugh with the food and beverage, didn't they?
In what way?
Well, they've not stumped up 450-odd.
Well, yeah, obviously, we have lost out on that. So that's more income that we're not going to have towards potential transfer kitty in January. So, you know, all these little things sort of add up, and the bigger picture is that I think we are in a worse position now than we were 2 years ago when we were at St. Andrews personally. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that? Financially, I think we are. Because we don't know the Doug King situation. I know he says he's going to get rid of the debt, but he's just going to, that debt's just going to be off. It's got to go somewhere. It's just going to be offloaded somewhere.
Well, debt aside, you know, that's the debt aside, but we do know from looking at the Coventry City accounts that there is, you know, debts in the terms of loans, basically, and interest that was payable on those from what I could see. That aside, I think the big issue that we've had this season with the, you know, the Commonwealth game pitch debacle and all sorts is we've not had cash flow.
Yeah.
And that is probably, you know, the biggest problem to any business. So who knows the issues that has been caused by this World Cup, you know, and ongoingly having that with sort of cash flow. We know a lot of the, you know, food and beverage and stuff was withheld anyway for periods of time, but there would have been steady I don't know how many much you make from shirts and stuff, but you know, I mean, just
to say, to
generally
about
match
flow,
days. Yeah,
the merchandise situation that we have, that's a big problem, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, I mean,
sell stuff at the, you know, the biggest and busiest time of the year.
Yeah,
it's presence, you know,
awful.
It's going to be a lack of revenue, isn't it?
Shocking. The club. Yeah, so I do think that we've got a bit of a problem with cash flow. I don't know. Look, you just don't know. All is, there's a lot relying on Doug King. that's the fact, you know, and hopefully you just hope in the next, I don't know, couple of weeks that stuff starts to happen before January. You'd hope before Christmas we would have...
I think it's going to happen this week, Dave.
Well, hopefully.
It has to, because otherwise we're not going to be able to play our home game on Saturday. I think that deal is reliant on Doug King being given ownership.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think Cecil are going to agree to the deal.
No.
For the rest of the season, they're going to want a longer term deal just in case the ratification from the EFL doesn't come through for Doug King.
Yeah.
And now obviously we've got Billy Bullshitter, William Story in the mix as well.
I don't know anything about that guy. I honestly have no idea who he is. I've not really looked into it. I'm not bothered because I've been so focused on factually that the club has put out that Doug King is the new owner. and majority shareholder, and that's kind of where I've focused my energies, I guess.
Yeah, that is true. Talk about kits, though. I've got enough kits to last the actual season for the first team, never mind people buying them.
Well, we certainly haven't gotten a medium in the away purple kit, because that seems like that, for me, is going to be lost to history, I think. I don't think I'm going to... I've gone into the shop, I sound like a right teenager, but I have been in a few times to try and pick up one of those, because I think they're going to be, you know, retros and years to come. And they haven't got any. So yeah, I agree. I think
are we going to be
Marshy's going to be working overtime on the old washing machines, mate.
Yeah, I was about to say, I hope his home tech lessons are going to come in handy with the sewing machine. I hope he's got some really good skills on there. Are we going to be at a stage where players are going to be holding up signs saying, "Can I have your shirt, please?" Never mind the fans holding it up. That would be a sight for sore eyes, wouldn't it? That'd be absolutely mental if that happens. But it's just wild. The whole situation.
Well, that's what it would be. Instead of the, you know, when they used to have the buckets outside and donate, you just have to put your shirt in there.
Shirts in. We might end up playing in like the 1997 pony kit.
That'd be great.
Maybe it's a rogue Sunday League team has still got, you know.
As we speak, Marshy is on eBay, seeing if he can get together 11 Peugeot.
Flying over to China and DHgate HG to try and get what he can.
Yeah, is this finally the inroads for, is it FMC Online or whatever it was?
Yeah.
This is the big breakthrough that they're waiting for.
Take your account off private because the Sky Blues want to go into your DMs. Yeah, it's such a silly situation. And obviously, another part of the bad situation is that, you know, Dave Boddy alluded to the Hummel deal collapsing, which is going to be really sad news because we're going to end up playing in Nike shopping bags again.
Oh, yeah, it is. Although, you know, the point to make of this, you know, it was nice while it lasted, wasn't it? But in all honesty, kits have got to be a commercial revenue for the football club. And I think a big part of what you're saying around, you know, we always say, why didn't they order more shirts, or why didn't they do this? Because they seem to sell out. We'd think they'd know about those numbers. But I think it's more, again, this cash flow that
We don't purchase the stock up front. As well,
no.
In comparison to other clubs.
Yeah.
Like people are saying, oh, why is Southampton or wherever they're talking about, why have they got no issues with selling stuff at Christmas? It's because they bought the stock. The stock is theirs to own.
Yeah.
What we do is use a middleman effectively to...
Oh, so basically it's just like royalties that we get then?
Yeah. You know, when you purchase the top, you purchase it from Elite Sports Group and then we get a percentage of that.
Yeah,
whereas
awful.
Other clubs... buy the stock and then, you know, that's just a different way of doing the sums, but it's their own stock, they own it.
And that's why we've got to can it, because Elite obviously front a lot of the kit stuff and that, I guess, on a sort of contract basis. And now we can't go direct to Hummel because we can't do it up front is what we're saying. That's likely the reason why.
Yeah, and there's going to be, again, a lot of issues with cash flow in regards to that. It's going to cost a lot more money to go to Hummel directly
than
just purchase an X amount of stock, which we can't afford anyway to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you've got Brexit with the import fees and all that sort of stuff. It all adds up.
Yeah, and that's what I mean about, they were great. Best kits, you know, for a long, long time, really, when you think about what the lads were running around in, you know, your Jordan Willis's and stuff. There was some absolute
nightmares,
states. But it's got to make commercial sense for the club, hasn't it? And ultimately, the kit is one of the biggest revenue drivers. But it's no good if we can't put the heating on because we spent all our money on shirts waiting for people to buy them for Christmas. So it's
Mike Ashley might do a job lot on a load of cheap Lonsdale stuff for us. We were the first club in the UK to be sponsored by Lonsdale.
Who knows what we'll go to. I think it will be templates. It's got to be, really. It's got to be someone that can afford to allow us to have that sort of...
bit of freedom to choose
contract.
What we
want to do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Doesn't really bear... thinking about what we're going to get, because it just seems like Hummel sort of got it, didn't they? And they had people that worked with Boddy and the team to, they gave him a concept and they came back with lots of different ideas. I don't think you're not big enough to get that from maybe some of the other manufacturers like your Nikes and your Adidas's, yeah, and stuff like that.
You have to be a top-class team to get that sort of personalization, shall we say.
So it's a shame. It is a massive shame. But at the same time, whatever we do next has got to make commercial sense. And if that's a bit of a left-field brand with good royalties, and they can work together to create something that has been created similar that Hummel have done, you know, unique. There's lots of options to go for the brown tram lines. There's loads of options still that, if they do it properly, I mean, will still sell.
Concept guy on Twitter.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, they should. But you know, there's lots of ways to make some kits look decent. They might just have to go with a company that are a bit more left field, and they'll probably get better commercial terms, to be honest, because it might be one of their bigger clients. Who knows?
A Joma or someone like that.
Well, yeah.
New Balance.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
As long as it's not Kit At that we
had. About to say, I saw a guy with a really old school, massive Kit At jacket the other day. And I was like, God, we might have to go back to those guys on Fozal Road and get those get the Kit At back out the drawing board.
We left Highfield Road in that shirt. It's a shocker.
Yeah, it's awful. I just remember the material. It's like some weird silky. Oh, it's awful. It doesn't bear thinking about. Okay, Dave, what would you say your dream scenario would be then this week for the bigger picture?
The game is on Saturday.
Okay, yeah, there is that. But in regards to like maybe say like the takeover, you want to see the Doug King deal ratified, chat with Mike Ashley, the Frasers Group, get a long-term deal in place. Is that something you would like to see?
Yeah, I don't know. I I was talking, like I say, when I was talking to someone at work about this, the only way I could liken it to was like Cov City is like Gotham City, and it's just all these baddies circling around.
The Arkham Asylum is about to,
and it's like, you just, yeah, you just need, you just hope Doug King's Batman as well.
Who's his Robin?
But
maybe who's that guy in the picture that we saw on Twitter? Maybe that's Robin. From now on, that guy is going to be called Robin.
Yeah, looks a bit big for Robin, but
no one knows who he is. He looks great in spandex, I've heard.
Who really knows? I think one thing is clear is that there's obviously some outside influence. Let's be honest, it feels like Gary Hoffman's probably having some influences somewhere, as he's got naming rights to the ground with CBS. I don't know, it feels like there could be, you know, something there. I don't know. There's a lot of talk and a lot of speculation. Do I think Mike Ashley ultimately wants to own Coventry City Football Club? No, not really.
You don't?
No.
Wow. This is the guy who's gone after three football clubs since Newcastle. And he's now in a real good situation in regards to this football club owning the ground.
Maybe that is the end goal, but this just seems a really bad way of going about it. Does it not?
It is, because I think a lot of the fans now are pissed off with the situation when they see the words, "We are being evicted." It's Mike Ashley B is the man swinging the hammer, then we are going to be pissed off with him.
But that's what I mean. That's why I've probably almost took a back step and gone, well, maybe he's not in it for, I don't know. But I don't know what the allure is with Coventry for him, other than I know there's talk about this like antsy plant and stuff and, you know, whatever, like
he's bringing his Frasers HQ to Coventry, isn't he?
Yeah,
that's his ultimate aim. And if he can get everything in and around the stadium, the football club, then it makes it a very nice proposition in the future. Now for me personally, I wouldn't mind Mike Ashley owning the football club. If that is the end game, I'm absolutely happy with that. I'd rather see the club.
But what I'm concerned about is what has to play out.
Yeah. Well, how do we
for
get
us
to,
to
that?
get to that point?
Yeah.
Because Sisu won't go down quite lying, yeah, or fighting, will they? No. And he isn't going to come in and go, oh, there's, you know, it's 40 million, yeah, 60 million or whatever for a club that's, you know, mid-table in the Championship that doesn't own their own ground that he now owns. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I do worry, really, where we've got to get to if that is the end goal.
Yeah, is it two steps backwards before we go forwards? Which we've been there, we've done that. I don't think I want to go on that journey again.
No, and I think certainly Mark Robbins wouldn't be along for that ride.
No, definitely not. No, 100%. Yeah, it's
a lot of these current players, really, because
that's another thing. Yeah,
because let's be honest, if this eviction is, then EFL come in, and then it's by the skin of your teeth to stay up this season or next. That is the grim reality of it, isn't it? There's going to be points deductions if we can't play football in a ground. There's going to be points deductions. So I'm not really trying to think about it, to be honest, because I just
concerning
don't,
though, isn't it?
It's really concerning. It's really, really concerning because, you know, or I don't know if that's. If Mike Ashley wants to get the football club, we're in a really bad place because he'll get it however he has to. Because you know he's a businessman. Like, let's be honest, he's got to where he is by probably being quite pig-headed, to be honest.
Yeah.
So that from that point to get to there, I don't know. So
it's a bumpy road, isn't it?
My ultimate is that Doug King just writes out a blank check for Mike Ashley. He goes, well, this wasn't the right thing. Yeah. And at some point, Doug King takes over. He has actually got the money he's talked about. You know, we get to the Premiership and then Mike Ashley goes, here's your ground back, or, you know, or something else. Or
I think it'll just be the reverse. I think Ashley will slowly but surely chip away at Doug King because he'll go to Sisu who buy that 15%. And then he'll keep going to Doug. Well, here's another 5 million. Here's another 10 million. Slowly but surely, he worms his way into till he becomes the majority and then buys him out completely. But to get to that point is going to be a hell of a bumpy road because Doug King will then see the light at the end of the tunnel and stop investing in the club, probably, because he'll want to get a bigger return from Ashley. So it's incredible situation. But it's never easy, is it?
I suppose he is, you know, the only thing for Doug King, right, is he does what every other club has done and it's not worked out. And I appreciate that we're now probably rambling on. But maybe he's just going shit or bust. Maybe this is one big gamble for him. And if he gets the Premiership, it's big time money. Big time money. Huge. And then it doesn't even matter because what he's invested is a snippet of what he gets. What is it? 100 and something million, 120 million if you go up.
Just going up automatically. And then if you come back down, it's, you know, north of 300 million on parachutes over 5 to whatever years it is now.
Exactly. So let's be honest. Maybe that is it. And the other clubs that have tried to do that, like I think Derby probably with back in the Lampard days, probably. Yeah. QPR way back when they had the guy from the Formula One and that lot.
Team Force India.
Yeah, I don't know, even further back than that, wasn't it? Now. Wasn't it Briatore or something like that?
The Italian fella.
Yeah, way back. I'm going way back. They really threw money, you know, when they were paying like Sean Wright Phillips, like absolute bucket loads.
Yeah, Sheffield United done it as well.
Yeah,
a lot of clubs have got that template of throwing money at it.
Yeah,
but a lot of clubs have failed doing that too. So that's the gamble, isn't it?
Exactly, but maybe that's what you're seeing. You know, I don't know. We've been knocking on the door for a while. The club is the only way up. Let's be honest. For a Premiership prospect, we've got to be the cheapest proposition around, haven't we?
Yeah. Oh,
Millwall, perhaps. Yeah. Millwall, perhaps.
But then you're not getting a great stadium for that, are you? And you're getting what you get with Millwall, which is just trouble. A bad press.
But maybe that is. Maybe Doug King's, you know, he's an investor. He's you know, that's basically, maybe he's just gone, you know, I'll have a go.
I think once the ratification comes from the EFL, we'll start to learn more and he'll be a bit more open. I think he's actually playing a blinder, if I'm honest, Doug King at the moment, keeping in sort of in the shadows. Just let everything happen. And once it happens, then, you know, he can come out and tell us what we want to know at that point.
In the brand new Hummel kit, just
parading it. You thought they
just
were
appears
gone.
Like out of the thing, like stars in your eyes, all the smokes up, and
will Matthew Kelly be there?
Moving on.
Yeah, let's get to talking back to on the pitch. Obviously Swansea, hopefully at the CBS Arena on Saturday. Swansea currently lying in 10th place, 2 points ahead of the Sky Blues. They also lost in their comeback game 1-0 to Norwich on Saturday. And they're also winless in their last six. Now, we know Swansea are very much a possession-based team, Dave. They try and pass you off the park, which should make for a high-quality game with two teams playing the same way.
Yeah, we often do well against teams that come and play football, as opposed to those that time waste from 45 minutes onwards.
But 4.5 minutes onwards, if you're alluding to the Reading game.
Yeah.
With that guy down. Also, can I just go back? That's absolutely ludicrous how they let that guy back on the pitch with a head injury. What are they playing at?
I don't know. I wasn't concentrating on that. I didn't even...
Jumping up and down, trying to keep warm.
Yeah. I think Swansea, yeah, they try and play football. And I think that will mean that we can actually try and get down and play our football and have a good go at them. I'm not really seen much of them this season. And like you say, winless in the last six. They're obviously there for... I thought we looked all right on Saturday. For how much time we'd had off, I thought we looked and passed the ball. We just looked like we sort of run out of ideas in the final third, yeah. Which we've always kind of done, to be honest. Yeah, I think Saturday at home, I think we can probably take what we did on Saturday and increase it again.
They're also a team that sort of give you opportunities as well.
Yeah, time on the ball.
Yeah, so you can start to, you know, get it ticking and hopefully an opportunity will arise. It's also a team we haven't got a great record against. I'm just looking at the last six fixtures. 3-1 loss, 2-1 loss, 1-0 loss. A draw, 1-0 loss, 2-1 loss. It's in the last six dating back to 2010. So, yeah, the omens are not good versus Swansea. But I like to think we're a different team now. I don't look at those records really anymore.
Yeah.
And go, oh, you know, we got bad luck against this team. I always think now we can, you know, be a match for any other opposition, regardless of our recent history against them.
No, I agree. I think, you know, the football that we play now compared to 2010 is you know, very, very much different. And I also think the atmosphere at home, it helps, you know, helps with the players on the pitch, and that has changed massively, hasn't it, since back then.
That 2010 team, can you just name any of them?
Can you give me a clue? Because I'm literally
Irish goalkeeper, probably one of the best goalkeepers we've had out.
All right, so Westwood. Then you'd have. Would you have... so who's in charge? Dowie, maybe?
I would assume so, looking at some of the names. Dowie or Coleman, maybe.
So you'd have Elliot Ward would be in there?
Elliot Ward, no. No Elliot Ward.
Right. This is going well.
Should I just name them? Because we could be here all night. So we've got Ben Turner, Jordan Clark, the two Richards, Richard Keogh, Richard Wood, Aaron Gunnarsson, Danny Ward, Lee Carsley, Lukas Jukovic, Sammy Klingon, Clive Platt. So, as you said, and as you alluded to, we definitely do play a lot different to how we played with Clive Platt up front. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fair. And what about Swansea, Dean? Is there anyone that we should be worried about at all?
Yeah, for me, I think they've got the best midfield in the Championship in Matt Grimes. Terrific player. One player that I would absolutely love to have in our team His passing stats are off the charts. He's a battler. He's got great feet as well. Can pick a pass. Just an all-round brilliant player. One I'm very, very surprised a Premier League team hasn't really taken a chance on. I suspect it's probably down to his injury record over the last few years. So maybe that's the reason why he's still in this Swansea team. And obviously, two of the big names in up front for Swansea as well, and Joel Perreault and Michael Obafemi, who hasn't quite hit the heights this year so far after joining from Southampton in the summer. So it'd be interesting to see how we cope with both of those. And obviously the inevitable Jamie Patterson, who has struggled for fitness this year, but he's looked like he's coming back to full fitness as well. He played on Saturday, so stick him down for any time goal scorer on your bet, that's for sure. With him, he loves scoring against us, doesn't he? Expectations, Dave, for this one, I kind of feel like this is one we can go in with a lot of confidence. As you say, we play really good football, play better against teams that play football, and I'd like to think we come out of here with all 3 points.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tight game. I think 1-0 for me would be my score prediction. And I think it'll be Gyökeres that will get the goal.
Back in amongst it.
Yeah, Big Vic. But I think I think it's going to be a bit of a tough game, but I do think it's going to be a good game as well. You know, I think that both teams are going to play football. Looking forward to it. Trains are absolutely stinking.
I was about to say, are you going?
Yeah, luckily I've got myself a season ticket in the old red Ford Fiesta of Mr. Kaplan. Yeah, so we'll all be squeezed in that.
You look like the in-betweeners, you lot, in that.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we'll be going. So
all set for another bitterly cold day. And hopefully this ground will have some hot food and hot water, unlike Reading did at various points during the game,
you just don't know whether to part with cash because you don't know who's going to get the money afterwards.
That's it, yeah. Maybe there will be no food or no drink. Who knows? Another situation that's like, what's going on there?
I don't know.
Intriguing.
We might just all turn up on Saturday and there's still been no official announcement by the club and we'll just be all kicking around outside thinking...
Bring a thermo flask. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I will.
Absolutely right, Dave. Pleasure as always. Great to have you back. A big thank you to the Sky Blues Tavern for their continued support, and to you, the listeners. A big thank you to you as well. If you have anything you want us to bring up on the pod next week, just let us know using the hashtag SBE Podcast, and we'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.